WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammy McCormick. Israel launched a surprise attack today on Hamas. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
At noon today, I convened the heads of Israel's security organizations and authorized a surgical precision strike on the terrorist chiefs of Hamas.
It's where the strike occurred that surprised many, U.S. ally Qatar. President Trump called that unfortunate. Here's Linda Kenyon.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt says the U.S. got a heads up.
The Trump administration was notified by the United States military.
Secretary Levitt says the U.S. immediately notified Qatar.
The president views Qatar as a strong ally and friend of the United States and feels very badly about the location of this attack.
Qatar has been a mediator in efforts to end the war between Israel and Hamas.
CBS's Remy Innocencio reports it's unclear if the ceasefire negotiations would resume now.
These are uncharted waters. We do not know what will happen here if Israel, if the United States, want to try to carry on with some kind of negotiations.
At the UN, Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
All parties must work towards achieving a permanent ceasefire, not destroying it.
The Trump administration has released a new Make America Healthy Again report. The 20 pages prioritize vaccine injuries and causes of autism. CBS medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
Major medical reviews have already been conducted by respected scientific institutions. The Institute of Medicine, American Academy of Pediatrics, the CDC, and others have found no links between vaccines and autism.
The report was overseen by Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. It does not lay out any regulatory changes, but calls on government agencies to further research issues. A Senate committee heard today from Meta employees who said the company, which owns Facebook and Instagram, failed to protect children from online predators. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
One thing that concerned senators was this sense among whistleblowers that the company is trying to avoid recording and tracking information that could lead to bad press or government investigations.
Revised job numbers out today are signaling the economy is on shakier footing than what was thought. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
This has already happened. This is a backward-looking report. So yes, the economy added less jobs than we originally thought, to the tune of almost a million jobs. However, that's already baked in. We didn't go into a recession.
On Wall Street today, stocks finished higher. The Dow was up nearly 200 points. The Nasdaq by 80 points. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Badgers head for Bama. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers have a road game Saturday against number 19th ranked Alabama, kickoff 11 a.m. So how do the players feel about taking on the Crimson Tide? Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
There's nothing more that you want to do as a competitor than be in the biggest games and the biggest competition out there. And to go to Alabama to play in front of that crowd, to go down there to play, you know, in the SEC country, I think that there's not a guy within our program that isn't saying that's one of the reasons why they're here.
NFL, a short week for the Packers. They host the Commanders Thursday night. Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed dealing with a stress fracture in his left foot. I asked how he was doing after Sunday's game against the Lions.
It feels great to win. I'm definitely hurting a little bit, but you know, thank God we got some time to recover. Put my foot in some ice and I'll feel better.
Baseball, the Brewers and the Rangers tonight in Texas. Milwaukee losing last night 5-0. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Our stretch of warmer temperatures will continue through the rest of the week. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms. A low in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns, a high in the low 70s. Mid-70s for Thursday. It's 69 degrees right now.
Todd Albaugh.
Wisconsin has a new candidate for governor. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He'll join the program at 3:35, and we'll kick around politics with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
On Friday night, it's a Wisconsin Valley Conference football showdown as Wausau West makes the short trip to D.C. Everest. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, and K5 Construction. It's Wausau West at D.C. Everest in high school football. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35, opening kickoff at 7 p.m. On your radio home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy. We are kicking off hour number two, act two, as we like to call it here on this Tuesday night, wherever you are joining me from over the state. Welcome, welcome, and please be part of the show. Text us your answer to tonight's question, and we will read your text on the radio. Tonight's question is, how do you feel about people who use flags, political, sports, entertainment, whatever, to accessorize their sweet rides? I am not a fan of car flags. I think they're kind of obnoxious, kind of a cry for help. Kind of shows that you might have emotional problems. Conrad is not a fan either.
They're hazardous.
They're hazardous. That's right. Someone could lose an eye. So let us know what your answer is, and we'll read it on the radio. It was great to talk to Frank Hermans, our friend from down the street at the Meyer Theater. Frank owns the damn Meyer Theater. He does great stuff. We talked about his new show opening on September 27th called Don't Squeeze the Charmin. You can get tickets at the Meyer Theater website. We also talked about how I had an audition to be a priest today. It's a lifelong dream of mine, well, to actually be a priest. Then I found out about the whole sex thing. Oh. Sort of shied me away from it. And luckily, I would not have... Listen, if I become a priest, I never would have had sex those four times. So it'll be a joy to play one in a movie. So I think you're all caught up, folks. We have at 7:20, Nick Watier from the Green Bay Film Festival will be here to talk about an event I will be hosting this Saturday night at the Tarleton Theater for the great film The Anxiety Club, which draws a connection between anxiety and comedy. Mark Maron is in it, and the director, Wendy LaBelle, will be there as well. It should be a fun night. Get your tickets. We'll talk to Nick about that at 7:20. Right now, this is kind of a treat. I was not expecting to have my next guest on again so quick, but he's got big news, and he made a great documentary called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers with his pal and cousin from another mother, Kelly Call. So joining us now to talk about the new news regarding this really cool documentary is our pal Sean Hanisch. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing, Pete?
I'm doing well. Hey, I think you're officially like a sidekick now on the show, like...
Listen, I'm not taking, you know, Conrad's place. I'm just, but I'll be like Doc Severinsen. I'll just like,
sure.
I'll play the trumpet a little bit.
Oh, I love that. That's the one thing I think this show has lacked is a trumpet player. So, fire away. How are you, man?
Man, I'm really good. I'm really good. You know, how can I not be good? You know, the Brewers have the best record in baseball. The Packers just crushed the Lions. I mean, even the Badgers won. So
yes.
Come on now.
Yeah, you're doing okay. You've got really big news too about your film. Like, I have so many questions about this, but tell us first where people can see it now for free.
Well, here, this is amazing because we're now, as of tonight in Madison, we're airing on free TV over broadcast in the state of Wisconsin on 5 different TV stations. This is definitely like a check your local listings situation. But I can tell you this, tonight we're on Madison, we're on WISC TV, the W, which is Channel 3000, right after the Brewer game. So if you're in Madison and you're watching the Brewer game, we come right on after that. And just a bit outside, we'll be playing on your television in your house.
That's so great.
It's amazing. And tomorrow night, we are going to be on CBS 58 after the game in Milwaukee. So, I mean, well, you know, this is like a dream come true. You watch the Brewers game and you get to watch our movie, you know, in the comforts of your own home. We're also going to be on at WSAW in Wausau. We're going to be on WGBA in Green Bay right there. And then WKBT in La Crosse. But those last, you want to check your local listings to see when we're on. But, you know, you don't have to go out to the movie theater. You don't got to worry about an app. You just turn on your TV and we're, you know, we're right there for you.
Old school. That's fantastic.
It's really cool, actually.
I bet it is. And you're filmed, Sean. You don't have to censor or edit anything. It's good, clean, fun. It's a sports documentary about your beloved team and the Brewers' beloved fans that showed up to give a parade. For those of you who haven't heard Sean on the show before, and we've talked about this film a few times even without Sean, it's a great documentary about the 1982 Brewers and the response they got. Even though they lost the World Series to the St. Louis Cardinals, they were still given a parade by their loyal fans. It's just a really good feel-good documentary.
Thanks. I mean, I you know, it's so much fun to look back at 82 and, you know, the camaraderie, the community, the excitement, and really the appreciation for a team that, you know, worked hard day in and day out and really kind of captured, you know, the state of Wisconsin. You know, we're work hard, play hard people. And so it's so great, though, to have it come out now. Like, right. You know, I know you and your Cubs. I know that, you know, Pete, other than that, I think you're kind of perfect. But I will tell you to have it come out right now with like less than 3 weeks left in the season with Brewer fever at an all time high. I mean, it's like, watch the game, watch us win, and then watch the movie and watch us almost win, but win in the hearts and minds of all the fans.
Very well said. And how, tell us, you're also going to, it's also going to be airing as a radio program, Sean, which is even more old school and cool. How does that work?
You know, when they approached when our friends at Good Karma approached us and said, hey, we want to put this throughout the state. And what do you think about airing it as a radio program? I nearly fell off my chair. I was like, as a filmmaker, I never think of just the audio, right?
Right.
You don't think, this is not an audio book. This is a movie. But what's funny is when Kelly and I listened, we were like, I think we can cut some time out of this. And we didn't watch it. We listened to the movie and we were like, oh, it totally holds up. There's nothing to cut here. If we cut something, we're cutting the story. So it's kind of uncanny in a way that, you know, on WTMJ in Milwaukee, I think at 6 o'clock next Monday night, they're airing over a 2.5 hour block the movie over the radio.
Oh my gosh.
Again, you know, as a filmmaker, you make a sports documentary that's just, you know, it's a passion project, right?
Sure.
Kelly and I were just like, we want to tell this story. We want to tell the story for us, you know, we want to tell a story for the fans. And all of a sudden you're in theaters throughout Wisconsin. Then you're on digital download. Then you're on Roku and Tubi. And then all of a sudden you're back on like broadcast, which is how we grew up as kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then the radio thing is too much. My head's going to explode.
It's funny, like, you're right, because you've already had this incredibly successful theatrical run. You got like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, the film is wildly successful. But if the first note you got was, we think this is perfect for radio, you might have ended your own life, right?
I would have been like, why did I go to film school?
Yeah, right.
you know?
Hey, tell us a little bit about that, Sean. Did you go to film? Where did you go to school? And how did you get, you know, you were a director and writer of movies long before Just a Bit Outside. You've had some great films you've made with really solid A-list cast. How did that happen for you? Did you go to film school?
Thank you. I had the good fortune. My dad was in advertising, so I was able to kind of grow up around sets and see behind the camera, you know, how people worked with people in front of the camera. So I had a, you know, cursory knowledge of that existence, right? Of what a production looks like. And then I went to Wisconsin as a pre-business major. I went to Madison.
Right.
And I didn't really have filmic aspirations until I took a film course as one of my electives in the Commerce Department. And it was love at first sight. Mm. I loved making the soup. You know, we used to make films on film, right? We made them on Super 8, then on 16 millimeter. And then I had the good, great fortune of getting into the graduate program at University of Southern California Film School.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, as you know, it's renowned, and it kind of puts you, I don't want to say on the map, but it puts you in the location where it's all made, and or where the majority of it's made. It's made in a lot of places, but you know, it's called Hollywood for a reason. And so, you know, out here, you know, I wrote and I did commercials and I did all that kind of stuff until I decided to write a film, you know, really write a film that I was going to make. And that was called Return to Zero with Minnie Driver in it. And, you know, that was a film from my heart. You know, you guys can find it out there on all sorts of the streaming platforms. And she got nominated for an Emmy Award. And I got nominated for a Writers Guild Award. So that launched, you know, I did a couple dramas after that, Sister Cities. And I did another film called St. Judy with Michelle Monaghan. That's on, I think, currently on Peacock.
Love
and
her.
Then, yeah, she's amazing. But I've had the opportunity to work with such incredible talent.
Yeah.
Alfred Molina, Common, Alfrey Woodard.
Jeez.
And then, you know, COVID hit and production went down. And then that's when Kelly and I said, hey, we've been wanting to tell this story for 10 years. Let's go tell the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. And never having to make a documentary before, I kind of didn't know what I was getting into, to be totally honest. It took us 4 years to make, and now it's on your TV set, like even tonight.
My guest is Sean Hannish. He is one of the creative brains behind Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. And as you mentioned, Sean, your partner on this was Kelly Call, a CBS executive. I think he was the president, right, of CBS for years. How, and you guys found out when that you were related. I find that almost as fascinating as anything else.
Well, here's the, okay, let me get back to it. Kelly and I met at Madison in my second year.
Okay.
So Kelly and I have known each other for a long time. I mean, we're getting almost on four decades. And it was only 2 years ago that he was looking on 23andMe and found, he lives in the South Bay area of Los Angeles in Hermosa Beach. And I live in Pasadena. And he saw a little dot in Pasadena with my initials on it. And he zoomed in and he was like, no way.
That's so great.
And he texted me, he's like, dude. And I was like, dude. So it's crazy. I mean, it's kind of funny because Kelly and I have known each other forever, but we never really worked this closely on a project before. So in the middle of that, to find out you share a great grandparent out there, it's cuckoo.
I love it. Sean, just we've got about a minute left. Tell people how they can find out where these airings are again. Do you have a website or should we just run through them again quickly?
I'd like to run through them again because we actually don't know. There's three stations that haven't announced dates yet. So tonight, Madison, Channel 3000, TBW is going to be Just a Bit Outside on your television right after the Brewer game, which has just started. We're in the top of the first. And in Milwaukee, it's going to be on tomorrow night, Wednesday, on CBS 58, which is also called CBS 58, WMLW. And then there are three other stations around the state airing it: Wausau, WSAW, Green Bay, WGBA, and La Crosse, WKBT. Please check your local listings. We can't wait for you to see the film at home.
I'm sure you'll be back in 2 or 3 weeks with even bigger news, and we'll be happy to have you. So congrats again on the success, and maybe a new film if they win. Think about it, Sean.
Just so you know, Kelly and I want to make a documentary about the Brewers winning the World Series.
Right, of course.
So we're in.
All right, fantastic. Sean Hannish, ladies and gentlemen, check out Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Brewers Always fun to talk to Sean. Thank you, buddy. We are coming right back with Nick Watier, who is here from the Green Bay Film Festival. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drug-to-driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. Great to have you, folks. We're having a lot of fun here. We're having probably more fun than people should typically have on a Tuesday. I don't know. What do you think, Con?
Yeah, we're having a bunch of fun talking about, you know, flags.
Flags, baseball documentaries, yes. A new show from Frank Herman's right here in downtown Green Bay. Don't squeeze the Charmin or squeeze the Charmin. And now the fun rolls on with a really cool event we're going to discuss with our next guest coming up this weekend at the Tarleton Theater. Nick has been on the show before a few times, and he is with Green Bay Film Festival. They do a great job, and he's always fun to talk to. And he joins me now in studio, Nick Watier. Hey, buddy.
So great to be here, Pete. Thank you for having me again.
My pleasure. And you seem a little less stressed than last time you were here. Oh, you had just come off some crazy road trip.
Well, yeah, I just found out like last night that I'm the busiest person in the company this okay. year. So I just came off of a 6-day stretch out in Iowa for a Banda Machos concert where I got to do video.
Do all the
wall
audio
and,
or
yep, yeah. the video, the
so
staging.
So this is separate of, just so you're, those of you listening, this is separate from the Green Bay Film Festival where he's also very busy. So
right. Well, yeah. And now I'm leaving again tomorrow to go to Illinois for the McHenry Music Festival. So I'm going to be gone for another, you know, 5-day stretch. We call it the weekend warrior. You leave on Wednesday, work concerts through the weekend, and then you're usually home Monday or Tuesday
when everybody likes to party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my life is lived when everybody else is, you know, clocking in for their 9 to 5.
Do you get a per diem?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, there you go. You're all set.
And usually the hotels are covered for me, so
that's always good. It adds, it's a nice added perk. Nick, tell us about, all right, I'm going to let you do this because we had the director of the film The Anxiety Club on last night.
I heard.
Which is the event we're doing this Saturday, and you've asked me to come by and host the Q&A. I'm very much looking forward to that. I love doing that kind of stuff. But tell us a little bit about the event this Saturday night.
Yeah, so we're at the Tarleton Theater, as always. Beautiful theater downtown Green Bay. Used to be known as the Historic West. And they still have the beautiful tile mosaic in the floor showing it. It's actually on the historical register. I don't know if your listeners knew that.
Okay,
but
yeah.
So we'll be there 5 o'clock. We've got, I believe it's 8 films in our first session that are all, you know, comedy centric. There might be a little reach in each direction, a little bit of drama here, a little bit of romance there. But this is specifically an event for the comedy fans. And then in our final session, we'll have 3 films, the last one being Anxiety Club, where, as your listeners heard last night, just astounding interviews with stand-up comedians talking about their struggles and their experiences with anxiety. And really, one of the most relatable stories I've seen. And so interesting to me to have a documentary film that's also a comedy. Yeah. I don't know if you got a chance to see the advanced screener yet, but there's so much humor in the stand-up, and then behind the scenes, seeing the process that it took to turn their life experiences into stand-up is just, it's kind of eye-opening.
I'm really curious. I was part of a Zoom call last week that the director, Wendy, set up, and we'll talk more about who's going to be there, because that's interesting too, but I like to watch, when I host Q&As, I like to watch a film with a crowd.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because Mark Maron, who is a famous stand-up comedian and podcaster, is in it. She's got some great subjects. It looks like it fascinates me because I was telling Wendy last night, every comedian I met or the ones I liked the most they were a little neurotic.
Oh, yeah.
And they were a little anxiety-ridden. And to me, the people that can find the humor in themselves through that,
absolutely,
I find are my favorite comedians.
Well, and it's not just comedians. I think you see it in all levels of performance. Like in a past life, I've spent a lot of time around professional wrestlers, and like those guys all have their own, you know, struggles. Mm. Some of them are anxiety issues. Some of them are, just personality traits, not liking to open up and express. I've seen some of the most introverted people get a microphone in their hands and just tear up a room like you wouldn't believe, right? So it's interesting to see how those things play. And I'm just really excited to have this Anxiety Club film present to us, and that they agreed to partner up with the ATT Center and get therapists in the room to talk about, like, yes, we're going to take time to enjoy a movie. And if you have questions about filmmaking process, absolutely, please be there and ask those questions. But we're also going to have people who are, you know, pioneers in the mental health community that are able to talk to that element of it. You know, I don't know if I've said this on the show before, but the Green Bay Film Festival is actually a product of Film Green Bay Incorporated, a 501c3 nonprofit. So when we're programming, yes, we want to show great films, and we're working on, you know, making sure the quality of the product we bring to town is high. But we're also looking at ways that we can help serve our community and help reach a wider audience that might need something they didn't even know they needed. So to be able to bring the Anxiety Club and this talk back is great. We've done things before, partnering with the Jackie Nitschke Center, talking about, you know, alcoholism and drug abuse problems. We've had partnerships with the family services. So that's really something that we as an organization try to do is find other places we can partner with and help them reach new audiences as well.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great night. And if you haven't been to a film festival, folks, I highly recommend it because you get an inside look into the mind of the filmmaker. And in this case, like you said, the AT&T Center, Nick, I was going to ask you about that. They will be there talking about the mental health side of things. So it's going to be a really fun evening. We also, folks, are going to do a ticket giveaway here. We've got 4 tickets to the screening this Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And there are 2 films going on before the Anxiety Club. We'll tell you about those too. When we come back, we're going to break for news, but all you have to do to qualify for free tickets to the screening this Saturday night at the Tarleton for the Anxiety Club is text in Conrad.
Tickets.
Just send in tickets and we'll take it from there and we'll get you all set up. We've got 4 of them and it's going to be a fun night. I am very much looking forward to it. I've never seen the inside of the Tarleton.
Oh my goodness, you're going to love it.
I know. All right, we're going to talk more with Nick when we come back after the news. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, and it's great to have you here on this Tuesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And you're going on a journey way into the land, and you start breaking down, 'cause you're under strain, and you're jumping on, yes, you're jumping on a fast train.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. Israel launches a strike targeting Hamas's leadership in Qatar's capital. Hamas says in a statement that five of its members were killed. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
All parties must work towards achieving a permanent ceasefire, not destroying it.
The man facing state charges for murder and the death of a Ukrainian refugee on a Charlotte, North Carolina commuter train is now facing a federal criminal charge. U.S. Attorney Russ Ferguson on why it took 2 weeks to bring the charges.
Much more recently, the surveillance video was obtained from the train, and that's really what gave us the basis for federal charges here.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics revised down by more than 900,000 job creation numbers for the 12 months that ended this past March. CBS's Kelly O'Grady explains what the Fed will likely say when it looks at those numbers.
They're very much going to look at this and say, yeah, we need to have an interest rate cut. This slowing growth has been happening for quite some time.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Badgers head for Bama. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers have a road game Saturday against number 19th ranked Alabama, kickoff 11 a.m. So how do the players feel about taking on the Crimson Tide? Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
There's nothing more that you want to do as a competitor than be in the biggest games and the biggest competition out there. And to go to Alabama to play in front of that crowd, to go down there to play, you know, in the SEC country, I think that there's not a guy within our program that isn't say that's one of the reasons why they're here.
NFL, a short week for the Packers. They host the Commanders Thursday night. Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed dealing with a stress fracture in his left foot. I asked how he was doing after Sunday's game against the Lions.
It feels great to win. I'm definitely hurting a little bit, but, you know, thank God we got some time to recover. Put my foot in some ice and I'll feel better.
Baseball, the Brewers and the Rangers tonight in Texas. Milwaukee losing last night 5-0. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Last week, I said that summer blockbuster season at the theaters was officially over, but it appears that no one told The Conjuring last rites. Prognosticators guesstimated that the film would pull in roughly $80 million worldwide. The film opened in first place this past weekend, surpassing the predicted amount in the U.S. alone with $83 million and pulled in $187 million worldwide. Good for the third largest opening ever domestically or globally for a horror film. For Warner Brothers, this was their eighth number one opening of the year and the seventh film in 2025 that has opened with a take of more than $40 million, something no studio has ever achieved, according to Deadline. Hamilton opened in limited release and came in second place with $10 million, and it was more horror as Warner Brothers' Weapons came in third place and now has raked in $143 million in 5 weeks. Freakier Friday and Caught Stealing finished in fourth and fifth place, respectively. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Our stretch of warmer temperatures will continue through the rest of the week. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms. A low in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns, a high in the low 70s. Mid-70s for Thursday. It's 69 degrees right now.
Wednesday night, it's the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, the Civic Media app, and on the WXCO YouTube channel. Join me, Chad Holmes, along with Jason Foster, as we look back at week number three of the high school football season and preview week four action as well. Plus special guests. At 6:30, we'll be joined by Abbotsford head football coach Jacob Natmiller. The Falcons come off a very impressive 39-0 win over Iola Scandinavia last week. Then at 7:06, it's our student athlete guest from Wausau West High School multi-sport athlete Shay Jones. Jones had a couple of touchdown catches in the Warriors' win over Eau Claire North last week, and we'll talk to him about that and this week's game against DC Everest. It's the Big High School Sports Show, 6 till 8 p.m. on Wednesday night on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.FM, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, the Civic Media app, and on the WXCO YouTube channel.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, helping taxpayers understand just how much the private school voucher scheme is taking out of our wallets and our hometown schools.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Welcome back. You've got Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it is a Tuesday night here in downtown Green Bay. It is absolutely beautiful. We're just down the street from the beautiful Tarleton Theater, and we're talking about a really cool event that is taking place this Saturday with my guest, Nick Watier, who is here representing the Green Bay Film Festival. A really cool festival. I have to ask you, Nick, and I think I've asked you this before, but I don't remember what you said. A lot of film festivals, I would say most, block like a whole week or 4 or 5 right. days in a row. You guys have events throughout the year, with the exception of summer, maybe. What got you there? What was it? What was the game plan there?
Yeah, so the film festival in Green Bay was very traditional originally, where we would do Friday, Saturday, Sunday screenings. We would have hundreds of people come through, and they still couldn't see everything, right? Because we'd have 3 or 4 screens going, and, you know, oh, I want to go watch this film with my kids, and oh, I want to go watch this documentary. And you'd really have to plan your weekend and schedule to see everything. So one of the ideas we had, again, being a nonprofit, we wanted to spread ourselves around town more and be known as more than just a once-a-year event. So we started offering what we called our Films Around Town events. And this was an opportunity to see, like, well, maybe you don't have time to go to the comedies and the romance films against each other. So around Valentine's Day, let's run a second screening of the romance films as like a dinner theater experience. Okay. So we would partner with local diners, bring a screen and projector, have people come in and do a package deal to experience those films. And then they could have a little bit more freedom when it came to the festival and choose whether they wanted to see that again or experience something different. Well, that evolved over time, and Films Around Town honestly was phenomenal for us. It was a lot of work on our volunteer teams, but we would do from the first week of January to the festival in March, and every week we would have one screening a week. As we've progressed, we've noticed that, you know, post-COVID, live audiences haven't come back as strong. And I think that that's true of most industries. I mean, the concert yeah. world definitely has seen a change as well professionally for me. But what we've noticed is a lot of people want to be specific in what they pick. There's a lot of options out there for entertainment and you know, weekend plans. So for us, we've decided to do multiple events throughout the year. Like next year, we're planning to. We'll have a spring and we'll have a fall. And really, the goal of that is to give people a better opportunity to stay in touch, stay connected, and not feel like they have to give something else up to experience everything that we have to offer.
Interesting. Yeah.
And it also affords us the opportunity to do special events, like having you come in to do a specialized talkback. We can afford to give you and the filmmakers and the people from the ATT Center, we can afford to give you a half hour to have a talkback and not have to rush you out of the room because there's another film coming right after.
Right.
You know, it's kind of my personal theory at this point that people have become accustomed to a 2 to 3 hour experience. Okay. If you go to the movie theater for more than 2.5 hours, you're probably having a hard time following it. If you're watching a football game that goes into the fifth quarter, you're getting a little antsy, right?
Right.
So what I've tried to do, at least with my share in directing the team, is try to program our days around that 2.5 hour experience, you know, and maybe we need a break in the middle, you know. Tarleton has great food, so if you want to eat, grab something to eat yeah. between the two sessions, right? But really, we try to build 2 hour experiences that can feel complete and can feel like you've experienced everything that's there for you.
That's a great answer. And I like, too, that when you, you know, if someone's going out of town, you miss an entire film festival. But with you guys, you have these great thematic events throughout the year.
Right.
And I think it's a really interesting way to do things. So let's recap here, folks. Pardon me. We do have four tickets we're giving away for the screening this Saturday night. The film is The Anxiety Club. There are two short films playing before The Walking Greg and Miss Rossi versus The Nona. So those will play, and then The Anxiety Club, great documentary about stand-up comedy and, you know, some of the anxiety the comedians deal with, and the director will be there. I'll be hosting the talk back.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a great night at the Tarleton Theater this Saturday night starting at 7 o'clock. So if you text in the word ticket, we can give away a total of four. So if you want one, if you want two, I guess we'll
do. Yeah, let us know.
Four, all four, take them. First one that texts in tickets. So, and a fun night in downtown Green Bay this Saturday for sure. I did not get my signing bonus, by the way.
Oh, we will take care of that.
Okay, fantastic. all right, so Nick is here. He is the executive director, correct, of the Green Bay Film Festival?
I'm a director.
The Big Cheese, the head honcho, top notch, A number one?
Technically, I am the treasurer.
Okay.
Of the film festival.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So, and that's one of my pet projects too, is helping films get made, right?
Yeah.
That's really where I'm passionate. The festival is a great thing. I love to build it, but really I love to see artists take the ball and run with it and see what they're able to create.
Let's talk about that, because the Green Bay Film Festival offers sponsorship for filmmakers.
Yeah. So there's a program we've discovered called fiscal sponsorship, fiscal receivership. Basically, it's designed to help nonprofit organizations get formed. So if somebody wanted to form a new nonprofit organization, there's a whole bunch of paperwork and legal work that needs to go behind it. There's auditing. And one way of getting through that process is to have another organization sponsor you. Basically, you borrow their tax exemption information while you're going through the process of becoming a 501c3. Well, we're also able to sponsor any project that fit the mission and vision statement that we've put out there with the government. So we're trying to create establish the city of Green Bay as a hub for film creation and enjoyment. So any project that follows some very basic rules, like you can't be political campaigning, you can't be pushing a religious agenda, you know, there's like five bulleted items on a list that we need to make sure that you're in compliance with. We can offer funding to assist that project through completion. So right now I've got about five different film projects that are basically running their finances through the Green Bay Film Festival, through Film Green Bay Incorporated. And what this allows is for us to receive tax deductible donations. So businesses that are like, oh, yeah, we really want to help this artist. We really want to support them and get their vision seen. They can cut a donation to our 501c3. It's a tax write-off. We hold those funds on their behalf. And as the filmmakers incur expenses, we pay those invoices. So if you want to go out and you want to rent an RE set of lights or camera, you want to, you know, go out and get some costuming or pay some location fees or pay your actors. Basically, all those organizations send an invoice to the film festival and I cut the checks by hand out of the money that was donated to us. So it's a peace of mind for the donors to know that the money is actually going towards what they wanted, that somebody isn't just collecting donations and then GoFundMe pays out and they buy a boat and you never hear from again.
Right.
So we're like that level of checks and balances.
Interesting.
So and right now I'm super excited. We did an event last year for the 50th anniversary of the giant spider invasion. You had me on to promote that event. It was fantastic. We had a great group of people, but even more important to me than that was getting the opportunity to meet the team. And in networking, we've talked about, you know, their visions and goals. And this is a 50-year-old film, but we want to celebrate it. Well, they've partnered with the original director and some new people that were big fans. And they're actually adding a half hour of new footage.
How about that?
Newly That's shot crazy. Footage to the film. And yeah, we've got two corporate sponsors. They've got I can't say specifics, but several thousand dollars have been donated to cover the expenses of shooting this new footage, re-editing the film, and really it's going to be a brand new experience. And Bill, you know, he said, you know, yeah, when I told that story, when I made that film, you know, it was this way, but there were always these little plot holes that I wanted to patch, and there were these jokes I wanted to work in. Well, now they're doing it with new actors. And, you know, with modern editing technology, they can antique the footage.
I am so looking forward to seeing how this turns out.
Oh, me too.
Because it's such a big undertaking. It's ambitious and it's cool.
Well, and I'm fortunate in my role, right, is part of my job is to verify that this is legitimate.
Yeah.
So I get dailies. I get little screeners and teasers and behind the scenes photos. And it's so cool to see these things happening. And, you know, for me, As a finance person, I'm basically watching a line in a checking account. I'm, you know, verifying that people are doing this. But also in this process, I'm making connections. So I now know four or five cinematographers in the state of Wisconsin that I never knew before because I'm cutting them checks. I'm making phone calls to make sure that, you know, they're billing fair rates.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of building a database of sorts for, you know, other filmmakers that want to connect. I can help you.
That's Nick Wattier. He is the treasurer of the Green Bay Film Festival. They are doing some really cool things. They have kind of a different format that's working for them, a non-for-profit organization. They're helping people get films made. Just an outstanding organization. So you said we've got a couple openers before this Saturday, before the Anxiety Club. And then you also mentioned a film called The Last Vaudevillian.
Yeah, so that'll be playing in the early session. We've got three films in the 7 p.m. session, and there's also a 5 p.m. session. The Last Vaudevillian will be there. Devin from that film is going to be there. It's a super cute look at this is my summary, not theirs. But imagine, you know, from the old talkie days, Charlie Chaplin and like what would life be like for that character if he existed in the real modern world, you know, walking down the street, bumping into somebody and how he responds and reacts. It's a really cool look from an improv troupe that, you know, put a little time and energy into telling a narrative story in a different way for them.
The Tarleton is showing The Anxiety Club this Saturday night at 7 o'clock. I will be there hosting a talkback or Q&A after the film. It's a great film about comedy and the connection it has to mental health and anxiety. Thus the title. Wendy Lobel was on the show last night. Mark Maron is in the film. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you text in now, just the word ticket or tickets, we've got a couple free tickets for you this Saturday. So let us know. What else do you have coming up? We talked about these other events. You got a sci-fi
we've
weekend
coming
up. We've
got sci-fi coming up. That'll be October 11th again.
What are your most popular themes when you guys do this stuff?
Honestly, the ones that Green Bay shows up for the most is horror.
Okay.
Like, Green Bay loves their horror films, which we've kind of snuck in a little bit into the sci-fi, kind of crossed into a little bit of that, okay, that scary element. The other things that I've seen do really well, honestly, are foreign documentaries. Because a lot of times those are films that you just, you're hearing a story from a perspective you're not going to find any other
right
way. Right. To take a camera and go overseas and meet people and not see it through the filtered lens of the news. Not saying that the news is bad, but they have a job to fill time, right?
Right.
And to have a filmmaker go out that's invested in a story, find the people and tell that story with their words is amazing.
Nick, I will see you Saturday night. This has been fun. You got to come back. Keep us posted. You're right down
the
street. I love helping you guys get the word out because I think you're doing great things down there, and I'm very much looking forward to Saturday night.
I appreciate you so much.
You got it. All right, Nick Wattier, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully we'll see you out there. You can meet Nick in person on Saturday, and you can say hello to me too. I hope that's not a deterrent anyway.
No, I hope not.
All right. It's Nightlight with Peach Wobble. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
President of the American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten.
People have to show up. People have to exercise their voice. You can't just exercise your voice a minute before an election. This has to be about what is good for Americans, and for us, what is good for working people. Working people made America. Working people deserve to have policy that helps them, not hurts them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. This farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. We are in the home stretch here. I am Pete Schwabba. It is great to have you here. We've got a few more minutes here. Tomorrow night on the show, this will be fun. There is a new documentary out about John Candy. And our guest tomorrow night, our first guest, Heather Heil from the Green Bay Children's Museum. It's almost weird to associate Heather with just one thing because she's kind of like knows everything about Green Bay.
She
can talk about anything. And she's just a really fun guest. She'll be here in studio tomorrow night. At 6:35, talking about John Candy. Conrad and I are going to give her a John Candy quiz. So that will be fun. So if you love John Candy or you love Heather Heil or both, tune in tomorrow night. We'll do that. And then at 7:35 tomorrow night, Ethan Ogilby, he is the writer of The Threesome, which was wildly successful at film festivals, so much so they put it in theaters. They gave it a pretty wide release for a little indie comedy, but it doesn't look like an indie. The production value is great. Zoe Deutsch is the star of it. She's a rock star. And it's just a really good, funny, thoughtful movie. So Ethan will be here. He is the writer, the scribe, as they say in Hollywood. He'll be here tomorrow night at 7:35 talking about his film. And fun night tomorrow on Nightlight. And the question of the night will involve John Candy. So I'll just tease you with that as well. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. I would like to thank my guest tonight, Nick Wattier, Sean Hannish, and Frank Hermans, always fun. The always fun Frank Hermans. Who is our Nightlight Window Love person of the night? He did two poses. He did a two-parter. So I had to post both pictures on Facebook. So if you go to Facebook, you can see Frank, me, and Frank. It's good stuff. So, all right, Michael Keaton had a birthday recently. We have like three or four clips of Michael Keaton. This one we're about to play is one of my favorites. It's from Night Shift, kind of the film that put him on the map. This is even pre-Mr. Mom. And he stars along with Henry Winkler. Henry Winkler runs the morgue, the New York City morgue, and Michael Keaton plays Bill Blazejowski, who got a job at the morgue. And the two really don't like each other, but they find this money-making venture where they become basically, what's the word, Conrad? I don't like the word pimp. But they're, you know.
I mean, yeah.
They're love brokers, as Michael Keaton calls them in the movie, love brokers. So they take care of these women, and they set them up in business and all kinds of stuff. But this is a scene where Michael Keaton is trying to win over a room full of escorts like only Michael Keaton can.
What are we really talking about here? Huh? What's the essence of what we're talking about? I'll spell it out for you if I have to. Prostitution!
Hmm? Are you kidding, Alex? What is this?
Prostitution. Hey, we can say it. We're big kids now, right? You know, a lot of times it'll help you to understand a word if you break it down. So let's do that now, shall we? Pros doesn't mean anything. Forget about that. Tit, I think we all know what that means. Two. Okay, two. Tit. And shun, of course, from the Latin to shun. To say no, huh? Thank you anyway. I don't want it. To push away. Doesn't even belong in this word, really. So let's get rid of that. You know, if I can take a moment here, and I mean this, what I'm about to say, I feel a lot of love in this room. I don't know, maybe it's me, but I'll tell you something. I was here a minute ago, and it was really beautiful. So at this moment, I think it's important that I see all of your breasts. Or I don't have to. I don't see the breasts.
The best part of that scene is he's breaking down the word on the chalkboard.
Yes.
And he says P-R-O-S, pros. He doesn't even go pros. Just beautiful. Michael Keaton is a gem in that movie. So funny. And do we have time for a little more Michael Keaton?
Yeah, I have a short clip from
Let's
the other guys.
One. Yeah, that's a good one.
And it's just his character, Captain Gene. And I think it's this just little clip sums up what he does and how he is in the whole movie.
All right, beautiful.
Subject, but is Kevin a copyright?
Kevin?
Yeah.
Is it bad time?
Come on.
You're mad at us, huh, Gene?
First off, don't call me Gene. I'm your captain. Guys, do you remember the Be Smart speech?
Sure. All right. Then what'd you do? What'd you do about it?
The opposite. We were not smart, Captain Gene. It's just Captain. It's just Captain. It's not Captain Gene. I don't have a kiddie show. It sounds creepy, Captain Gene.
He's so great. How long is the Mr. Mom one? Do we have time for that one?
Well, we got a couple texts we still need to read.
Oh, we got to read. I already read Steady. Hey, we got Mark from Prairie to Sack. They call it the Sack, you know. Mark from the Sack. You could say
yeah.
It doesn't even sound obscene or anything. He's in the 608. He said, Mark says, you talk about flags brought the what now oldie signs to mind. A slight twist to the chorus. Oh, Signs, the song by Tesla, I think it is. Flag, flag, everywhere a flag, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, do that, can't you read the flag? You didn't know I could sing, did you?
That was beautiful. I'm tearing up.
And then he's got the little emoji with the tongue sticking out and a wink. Thank you, Mark, but don't ever make me sing again, please. Thanks for listening, buddy. Joe from the 715 says, not a big fan of flags. Don't make it your personality or lack thereof. Maybe the flag is the personality. Thank you, Joe. Bridget from the 818 says, I wouldn't do it, but if others do, that is fine with me, unless it is a huge Trump flag. That bothers me. Okay. Yeah, those are pretty big ones, too. Those are huge flags. And they do block, like, the ones with the big, like I was talking mostly about the little ones that stick out of the windows, but
yeah.
The big ones that like come back. It's like, I don't know, folks. I'm just trying to figure things out. Hey, thank you all for listening. Thank you for your texts and calls, folks. We will be back tomorrow night with another great show, great guests, and a really fun question. That's all tomorrow night on Nightlight. Have yourself a great evening on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio,
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Justice Department has charged a man with the stabbing death of a Ukrainian refugee on a North Carolina commuter train. CBS's Matt Piper.
U.S. Attorney for North Carolina Russ Ferguson says while the incident occurred on August 22nd, the surveillance video from the train was only just recently released.
The surveillance video was obtained from the train, and that's really what gave us the basis for federal charges here.
He says the victim, Irina Zaretska, fled to Charlotte after living in a bomb shelter in Ukraine.
I'm here today to announce that we're going to supplement those state charges with federal charges. These federal charges will go alongside the murder case in state court. We hope that they will ensure justice for Irna, for her family, and for the whole Charlotte community.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
President Trump says he was not notified about the Israeli strike on Hamas leaders in Qatar ahead of time and will give a full statement tomorrow on it. CBS's Aaron Navarro.
We learned that President Trump, in addition to calling Netanyahu, also